Welcome to episode 12. Knowing the effects of pregnancy and birth, you can imagine it's not easy to return to high-level activity postpartum. And keep in mind, elite athletes aren't necessarily given any more guidance than you or I. For this reason, many athletes are forced to retire when making the decision to start a family. My guest today is perfect for this conversation because she's proven otherwise. Melindy Elmore is an 8-time Canadian champion in track and field, cross-country running, and road racing. After a long career representing Canada at the Olympic Games, Pan American Games, Commonwealth Games, and World Championships in the 1500-meter race, Melindy retired from competitive sport to pursue a family. After her first was born, she admits starting back to running quickly. She was keen, she craved it, but her body wasn't ready and she struggled with pelvic pain, which made it hard to run for a while. She had the insight to do it differently with her second pregnancy and postpartum recovery. It's been inspiring to watch her perform and excel after having two babies. She's now 40 years old, holds the Canadian marathon record, and has qualified for the 2021 Olympics in Tokyo, all after having two babies. Have a listen to her story and her message to all of you who can perhaps relate. Welcome to the Pelvic Floor Project. I'm your host, Melissa DeSalles, a physical therapist in Kelowna, BC, Canada, and founder of Mommy Berries, an online platform to support pregnant and postpartum women. I'm here because too many women fear their body during pregnancy and then feel let down by their body after baby, and I want to help change this. My goal with this podcast is to take my personal experience as a mom of two, my knowledge as a PT, and everything I've learned from my clients, and then sit down with other professionals, not only to provide you with evidence-based information, but maybe, just maybe, spark some changes by bringing our professions together. I'm confident we can make some headway if we come together to look at women holistically. I'm curious to see what changes this project will make in my community, and I look forward to have you join me on this journey. A reminder that content in this podcast is intended as general information only and should not be considered medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now, sit back and relax while you listen. I know this will be difficult for you because you have 3,450 things to do, but I challenge you to put yourself first during this episode. Melindy, thank you so much for being here. I've always appreciated how much you've put yourself out there to kind of help other women understand that there's a lack of information for both pregnant and postpartum women, but athletes specifically. And so I've appreciated that. I think that everybody does. And thanks for being here.
Well, it's great to be here. I think that things are really changing, even in the time frame that I have having my first and second child, and then since I had my second child, through resources and advocacy from people like you as well.
Totally. Can you start just from the very beginning and just talk about, like your story or your experience with postpartum recovery the first time around?
Yes, so my oldest son is going to be 7 in July, and even before I had him, I started looking for resources on training in pregnancy, and basically found it was non-existent. I found one book that I thought was all right, and it gave some guidelines for training through pregnancy, but it didn't give anything for recovery except to, respect your fourth trimester and take your time. So after I had Charlie, I didn't really know what to do. And I thought, well, just listen to my body. And that was probably a bad idea because my mind and my body weren't quite in the same place. My mind was ready to go before my body was ready to go. And I started just doing things that I love to do pretty soon after he was born, because I felt like I recovered really quickly and I felt good and I had good energy, and it was July when he was born. So the days were long and sunny, and you want to just go for hikes and bike rides and runs. And I would take him down to the park and meet friends and do like a modified kind of circuit training. But now I realized that the stuff I was doing was not appropriate for where I was at. So I paid the price for that for sure, and ended up being injured for about 8 months, about 6 weeks after he was born for the next 8 months because my return was too fast.
Do you remember kind of, it's hard to remember back, but do you remember kind of at what week you started not necessarily training at that time, but like exercising, quote unquote, like, you know, exercise falls on a spectrum, but when did you really feel like you were pushing yourself? Like, do you remember what week you started?
Yes. Well, it wasn't that I felt like I was training. As an elite athlete, training is, for me, is very different than exercising. Totally. So when he was 3 weeks old, we drove from Kelowna to Calgary for my husband to do the Ironman 70.3 race. And now I realize again how young Charlie was at 3 weeks old, that we were going on this big road trip. And of course, he was nursing, you know, like 20 times a day still. We were making multiple stops along the way. But anyways, when we were in Calgary, I went out for a 20-minute run from my friend's house. And I didn't really think anything of it, that I would just go for a run. And it felt good in the sense that it was fun to move my body again. I remember feeling out of shape and slow and not like my former self. But to me, 20 minutes is really nothing. But, you know, again, now I realize that 20 minutes at that stage was too much.
Totally. And what were your goals at that time, Melindy? Like, what were your training when you were recovered? What were you working towards at that time?
I didn't have any performance goals in mind. I wasn't on a timeline to get back for a race or anything specific. I just really love to be active, and I'm used to being active. You know, I run every day, most days twice as it is. So my norm is probably not what might be other people's norm, but it's just to get back to my lifestyle of moving.
Totally. And can you talk a little bit about some of the symptoms you did experience kind of after that pregnancy and as you returned to exercise?
Yes, absolutely. So I just got like a grinding feeling in my pelvis as I ran, and a lot of pain right on the pubic bone. And it would be definitely load bearing. So as I ran, I would be, felt like shearing. And I remember one time I headed out for a run from the H2O center, the swimming center in Kelowna. And my husband was going for a run, and he didn't recognize me right away that it was me going for a run. And then I stopped about 2 minutes in because I was just hobbled over. I couldn't stand up straight. It hurt so much to run. And he said, "I didn't know that was you, but I just knew that the person who was running looked absolutely terrible." So yeah, I was trying to force my way through my runs and then realized, like, if I can't run, if I'm in excruciating pain a minute or two into a run, then I need to stop. And it basically took 8 months before I could run pain-free.
And that's what I remember you telling me, that, cause I didn't know you at that time. And I remember you saying you needed to shift your focus and you need to start swimming more and cycling more because you just couldn't handle the running, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, just earlier, I'm used to moving and I really feel like my body needs it every day. So I just embarked on this mind shift that, okay, I can't run, but I need to do something. So I set up my bike trainer downstairs, and during naps and that sort of thing, I jump on that. And I started going to the H2O center that we talked about before to swim. And I was new to swimming, so that was a good challenge. And, you know, the water feels really good too when you're mm-hmm. when you're recovering. And that actually was the reason why I ended up getting into a brief but intense short-lived two or three years of triathlon competitions was because of the cross training I was forced to do when I couldn't run after I had Charlie.
Totally. And I'll never forget, this is right around the time I feel like we crossed paths, and I'll never forget like setting up beside you at the pool, and I basically float compared to your pace. But I remember you kind of saying like, you were pregnant at that time. And I remember you saying like, I need to come see you. And I think you said it a couple times, I need to come see you. So I'm curious to know. And I remember thinking, you know, swimming beside you thinking, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to swim in the lane beside this lady, like move me over a couple. Anyways, what can I ask, what made you, like, what did you learn or what changed that you thought, I couldn't do this differently the next time around? Cause yeah, like I said, it was when you were pregnant and you said, I need to do this different this time.
So that must have been with my second child,
Yeah.
Oliver.
Yes, you're pregnant the
Yeah.
second time.
Right. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to be injured for eight months afterwards, and I knew it's hard to be objective with oneself, right? Because I
Totally.
knew that I was doing things too fast with Charlie, and I knew I was doing things that I wouldn't recommend to other people. And yet I had a hard time actually holding myself back because, listening to your body is not really always the best advice to an athlete because my body felt good when I started doing this stuff. It wasn't that I set out and I was running through discomfort or pain to begin with. It just was too fast paced and too much too soon, where then I ended up in a rough place. So I knew the second time I needed someone to hold me more accountable and also maybe have some checks and balances to make sure that I was ready to progress to the next level.
Well, that's the thing. And I think that sometimes, and like you said earlier, that you were looking for information or you were looking for guidance to figure it out. Because I mean, I think if you explain, I often explain to athletes, like everyone's had an injury. So if you just explain any other injury and how there's generally a phase of rest, like you need to rest and allow the tissues to recover at like a cellular level. But then if you explain to them, let's just use the example of a bad ankle sprain or something like that. Like if you explain to them that, after you've rested, you're not going to start back at high intensity at something that's, requires a lot of speed or loading, they would understand. If I said to you, rest, and then I want you to start jumping or sprinting, you'd look at me like, what? Like you need to be able to restore the range of motion. You need to be able to restore the strength progressively and then start loading and then start, adapting to some of the things that you need to do in your activity. And so that makes sense with every other injury, but for some reason, what we do, the guidance generally, and like you said, this is improving, but even since I had my first and probably since you had your first, that information wasn't there when I had my first. And it's generally, you're going to go home and then, we were told nothing that first 6 weeks. And then after 6 weeks, we're told all clear. Well, that's different for everybody. Some people are fairly sedentary and their goals are to chase their kids around. And then there's other people like yourself that are elite athletes. I mean, that's different. So when you say all clear, well, I'm going to go back to running twice a day, right? Because I love to do that and that's my thing and I'm good at that. So I've healed and now I'm going to go back to that. But again, if you looked at a different injury and expected that that would be the course, that wouldn't make sense. And I think that I think if we were able to explain and give that information to athletes too and understand the progression, it's probably easier to adhere to. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I think back to stress fractures that I've had and coming again back from injuries, we always started with a walk run progression, right? And that made sense as you introduce some running really gradually with walk breaks so that you can maintain good form and you're not fatiguing and you can ha pull the plug if something goes wrong before you've done too much damage. So I was really well versed in the walk run return to running program, which essentially takes 4 to 6 weeks to build back up to 30 minutes of running, which again, in the context of what I do, a 30-minute run isn't significant, but it actually is significant on the body because it's still a lot of pounding, a lot of steps. It's one of the more higher risk, higher loading sports you can do. So I think if I had shifted, like you said just now, to more of the mindset of you're returning from a quote unquote injury where you need to let tissue heal and everything rehab, then that would have resonated with me. But instead I thought, well, I'll just listen to my body and go easy because 20 minutes of jogging is theoretically easy, but it's still way more than you do coming back from a stress fracture, bone injury, a torn tendon ligament, et cetera.
Exactly. What do you remember then, if we go back to kind of, you reaching out during pregnancy, what were some of the takeaways, or maybe for anyone else listening, like what would be some of the things that you think are important for athletes to hear during pregnancy? Like what's the benefit of starting this process proactively? Or what do you remember taking away from pregnancy?
Well, the biggest things I remember are that, I think you read online and in just like really, real, just like your little newspaper headline, not newspaper, but magazine headline, like, oh, do Kegels. seems to be the advice that I remember. Oh, you just have to do a lot of Kegels. Well, first of all, Kegels exercises are not actually as they're described in the magazines when I actually worked with you and with Corinne at some point too about how to actually breathe through them properly and what you're trying to engage. And secondly, that as an athlete, maybe I actually don't need to do Kegels because I have enough tone already. I need to learn how to relax and have a, you know, be able to work with my body to actually deliver a baby with as minimal damage as possible, right?
Totally. And I think you're right. I think that like, that's one message that's out there. And I think that started to make its way through now. People have heard, oh, Kegels aren't the be all and end all, but I also see it go the other way that I have a lot of athletes come in and they're panicking because they've heard, I have a tight pelvic floor, and they picture that it's like a brick wall that a baby won't pass through. And it makes them nervous, right? That sounds scary. Like, oh, because I'm an athlete, I have a tight pelvic floor, therefore I will more likely tear. And that's scary, right? And I think it's important just to touch on the fact that, yeah, a lot of athletes do have more tension because you rely on a lot of power in those muscles, right? It sometimes depends on your sport and what you do, but you require a lot of power, those muscles in the pelvis. And so they're good at being tense, but sometimes they're not great at relaxing, right? And so I think spending some time, it's not a death sentence, and it's not a athlete equals tight pelvic floor muscles forever. I'm sure you have other muscle groups in your body that you struggle with tension, but you have strategies, right, to kind of deal with that so that you can still run and perform, right? And same thing with the pelvic floor muscles. They're no different. You still have the ability to learn how to relax them or to decrease tension. And I think that's one thing that's important to understand is that you're right. It's not all about strengthening all the time, but learning almost to kind of yield, like you said, to, you know, decrease trauma during birth. And yeah, I think that's great that you took that away. And what was different the second time around with postpartum recovery then? Because we saw each other during pregnancy, and I remember you kind of being like, what do I need to do to set myself up for a better recovery this time? I don't want to have the pelvic pain. I'd like to be able to run again. Running's my passion. What do you remember doing differently?
Well, two things. One of them I think is just from my anecdotal experience talking to people, and my experience is that the second recovery was smoother for me. And I don't even know if it was anything that I did, just mm-hmm. that my body had done it before and knew how to recover. I think it's sort of like a stimulus of going in the weight room a few times and you're sore the first few times. And then your body's like, oh wait, I've done this before. I know how to adapt to this. So I feel like there is a bit of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Melissa, do you see that?
You know what? It can go both ways. And yeah. I think, you know, who knows, there's probably a lot of factors that maybe you knew you had that intuition that last time I did too much too soon. And maybe you just kind of gave yourself that, you know, you gave yourself that time, but who knows? It's different for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, this is true. From my experience, I think that I felt really, really good after I had my second child pretty much immediately. Like, I don't remember having nearly the recovery period that I did after Charlie, but I didn't have the same trauma either. I didn't have tearing. I didn't mm-hmm. have, I don't remember the 3 days later, like not hardly being able to walk, like after Charlie, where with Oliver the second, it was like, I'm good to go, you know?
Right.
So I feel like I naturally recovered faster, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like you said, I did have that intuition that I wasn't going to rush things, and I was going to be more strategic about how I reintroduced activity. So, you know, working through your program, which did feel for me slow at first, focused, you know, on breathing and posture and relaxation and that sort of thing. But I committed to it and I trusted you and that I was doing the right things, even though my inclination would be, well, when do we just get to go out and run?
Totally. When am I going to run? Mm-hmm.
So I don't even.
Go ahead.
I don't even remember when I went for my first run with Oliver. I think I started with cycling, and I think it took, I
remember
I
talking about this with you actually, because I remember you coming in. I remember you coming in, and actually use you as an example for other people too, because, you know, just based on someone that runs a lot, I said, you know what? I had this conversation with another client one time. And I remember you coming in, you had finished the program and you said, okay, can I run? And I said, you know, I said, have at least 8 weeks in the back of your head. Like, just think about, we talked about other injuries and I said, tissue healing. I said, we explained some of the things that happen during a vaginal birth, the tissues affected, what needs to happen, no matter how active you are. And I said, give 8 weeks in your head, just kind of park that for now. That doesn't mean you have to be sedentary, but work your way up. And so we probably talked about cycling and trying to find ways to build up the cardiovascular endurance before pounding the pavement, or ways to take. I also remember you saying, I went to the field. I might get this wrong, but we went and we were doing some circuit training. And I did the mommy berries exercises and I did the circuit training. And I said, whoa, those should be like kind of, you know, together. Like, you don't want to be, your pelvic floor is not separate from the rest of your muscles. So I remember having that conversation and just understanding, like, you need to kind of integrate the system again. You want to take that pelvic floor that you've been giving some focused attention to, because it's arguably the area that's gone through the most quote unquote trauma, but you also have to get that functioning as part of the body again. So don't think of like pelvic floor exercises plus the fun things. Like, you got to marry those two together. And then, yeah, we talked about just like the progression. So I actually do remember that conversation. So I hope it was, I don't think it was before 8 weeks.
No, I do remember that conversation too. And that I was going to the track and with my friends, but I wasn't doing the running. I was just doing exercises. Yes. And you're saying like, incorporate the breathing into your lunges and into your squats and think about them together.
Yeah. And I think that's important to go ahead. Melanie, I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, just that was really, really helpful.
Yeah. And I think it's also important. I think sometimes, like you kind of touched on there, a lot of people will be like, well, I'm going to run and I don't want to tell the physio. And I think I always approach it as I will always meet you where you're at. And I would never lecture someone. My job is to provide you with education. But at the end of the day, like, I'm here to support the person in front of me. And so I think understanding everybody's goals and desires is important. I think though, and it's not that you're defiant. It's not that anyone's defiant. It's just that you don't understand. And I think as soon as you give someone the explanation and say, here's how you're going to work up to your goal, because running's a fabulous goal. It's just a hard activity. And you wouldn't start there with any other injury either. So yeah, I think that's great. And we talked a little bit about, you already talked a little bit about running progression. And I wonder if, I just wanted you to touch on it, because there is an explosion of information. And I know you've been asked to write some different articles or blog posts for different, maybe sponsors of yours that are asking you to talk about your experience with, you know, postpartum recovery. Am I right?
Yes.
That's great. And is it something that, if I can ask, is that something that they're reaching out because you've been vocal, or will you talk about that a little bit? And, you know, you don't necessarily, I don't know if you're able to mention some of the sponsors or who's asked, but I'm curious to know with what context are they saying people are wanting to know more about this, or because I guess what I'm getting at is you've been very successful with this return. And maybe if you can speak to the specifics of, you know, what you've been doing or where you're at right now, so that everybody listening that doesn't know you knows what you're up to.
Well, first of all, I think even when I had Charlie sick almost 7 years ago, there weren't very many women who were coming back from having kids to doing high performance sport. There weren't a lot of role models in that area either. It was kind of like, well, you hit your peak performance years and then you retire and you have kids and you move on. And right around, I'd say when I had Charlie and now, we're seeing a lot of women who have children or a child or children and come back to high level sport. And that is really awesome, because you don't need to be done when you're having after you have your children. And there's still many great years ahead in your 30s and 40s to compete at a high level. We just didn't know, one, how your body can recover, and two, there's a lot to manage, as we all know, with having kids and still managing a performance career in anything, in business and sport and whatever your passion is. So I didn't know that I would be able to get back to this level, and I didn't actually plan to either. It just sort of happened organically that I wanted to get back into being fit and active and healthy and competing on my own terms and doing the best I could do at sport, whatever that was. But after I had Oliver, who's my second, and after I was sort of cleared to train and to run again from UMail, I thought, well, I'd like to do a marathon. And so I started training for that. And a few months after he was born, I ran Houston Marathon in 2019, in for people that follow marathon, in a time of 2:32. And that exceeded my expectations for sure for performance. And that made me realize, oh, I'm not actually done as an athlete. I can set some lofty goals that would compete with my goals pre-children too. Like I'm not actually any slower than when than before I had kids. So the following year I ran another marathon and ran 2:24, and that was a Canadian marathon record and set me up to make the Olympic team this summer in Japan. And I was 40 when I did that. I'll be 41 competing this summer. So I think it's just really cool too. And now I see so many women in running and triathlon and, other sports who have followed a similar path that they have their children, they respect the recovery, and then they get back down to some really hard training and some great performances.
That's awesome. And obviously, we've only talked about a small portion of what you've had to do, but I'm guessing too, like there's been a lot, I'm guessing, coaching around nutrition and taking care of yourself emotionally, mentally, talking about how everything fits in, like I said, with nutrition and breastfeeding and everything. Like you said, that's a lot to juggle, right? And I was always surprised, the more I work with athletes, the more I'm surprised by how much you have to do this digging yourself. And that's where I think maybe there's starting to be a little bit more information provided to you so that maybe you don't have to dig as hard. But I have been enjoying seeing different articles, maybe like I said, that you've been part of or blog posts that you've been part of. Obviously, people are asking you for this information, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of women want to get back to doing the best they can in sport after they have kids, whether it's, high performance making Olympic teams or just doing what they love to do. And so we are asking for this, and hopefully, like I reached out to a few athletes for advice when I was pregnant the first time, like Kara Goucher, for example, because she had come back having had her child to run, I think she was like third at Boston Marathon, like within 6 months of having a kid. So it was like, what did you do? How did you do it? And now there's just more people, I think, that have done it where it's more accessible, the information's more accessible, and it's I think we're just realizing it's possible. But yeah, I've had a great opportunity to hopefully share some of my experiences, and it's obviously going to be different for everyone, but I think a lot of the messages are similar.
Totally. And I know, you reached out with an opportunity and we were both interviewed to be part of a research study from the based out of the U of A Program for Pregnancy and Postpartum Health group. A group that's based, trying to do some research to help support women in general, but this one that we were part of had to do with supporting women, elite athletes navigate pregnancy changes and postpartum recovery. So I guess I'm seeing a lot change. And I think I'm curious to know, other than some of the information you've been asked to share and the information you have shared with other athletes, can you think of any other changes that you think would be helpful or maybe any messages that you'd like to give to any other women that are athletes that are listening to this?
Yeah, that study is one of a few that have gone on recently in Canada by researchers. So there's another pregnancy study coming out of University of Ottawa that I think is near publication, but it's all really good information because I do remember sitting down at UBC in 7 years ago and looking for all the peer-reviewed journals on elite training and pregnancy, and basically there was nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of other things to support women returning to sport, I think that's another area for sure, is kind of like maybe the social cultural structures to support, if we're talking about performance sports, support women like through extended return to competition. And I'm talking again about a very narrow subset of culture of people who would qualify, but for carding, which is government funding for athletes. So in the past, they would treat pregnancy as an injury. Mm-hmm. And so you were only supported for 1 year if you had an injury, and if you had subsequent injuries, you would lose your funding, your national team funding. Whereas, and then if someone became pregnant, they wouldn't be eligible because they'd already used that year on an injury. Where now there's a new clause where an injury is viewed separately as a pregnancy, because pregnancy is not an injury in the same terms, right?
Yes.
And you can't be effectively punishing women for a pregnancy and pulling away all their carding, their national team funding support. And again, just like maybe within races and return to competition, creating more family-friendly environments where it is more socially acceptable to bring family along. Like, I went to Houston Marathon. My child was 6 months old. He was still exclusively breastfeeding. And it took me 40 minutes after I finished the race before I could find my husband again, because, you know, when you go to a major marathon with tens of thousands of people, your spouse can't wait for you at the finish line. They have to wait for you 2 miles away under your last, you know, the letter of your last name. And I remember that was kind of stressful for me, was trying to figure out, well, how are we going to meet up mm-hmm. afterwards? Because I've already now been away from the baby for 3.5 hours by the time I leave the hotel to get to the race. Because again, when you're dealing with crowds of tens of thousands of people, you have to corral so long before the race starts. The race took me 2.5 hours, and now it's taking me another half hour to find you. So I think like things like that can, if there's like some sort of structure in place that you could go to a race director and be like, hey, I have a very young child who doesn't take a bottle, or regardless, I have a young child who needs me after the race. Can we like facilitate this somehow? Those are little things that I think that people organizing races don't really understand the demands on women that way.
Totally. Awesome. Anything else? Any last words for any other mom athletes that are listening?
Well, I think it's absolutely and totally possible to get back to a high level of sport. And I'm watching a number of women right now who I've been following for years and racing against in triathlon, who both had babies about 2 months ago. So it's super fun to see their Instagram updates. And I look back and I know everyone's always feeling panicked about getting back into training and how to juggle the nursing schedule and the napping schedule and your own body so that you can get out for that 2 or 3 hours of exercise that you think you need, or you do need. I mean, it's not even that you think you need. Sometimes you actually really need it, mentally, emotionally, physically. This sounds so cliche, but because I fought it in the moment, but it really goes by so fast, right? Like those snuggles with that newborn are just so precious. And I don't wish that I had spent more time sitting on the couch snuggling my newborn, because I know when I was in it, I was doing the best I could do. Mm-hmm. And I was really, really, truly trying to embrace those moments and trying to soak them all in. And you can't expect to be on 24/7 with a baby all the time. You need to give yourself an allowance for some break and some time to yourself. But it really does go by so quickly.
Totally.
And now, as my youngest is almost 3 and hardly wants to snuggle, and the newborn postpartum recovery seems so long ago, I still got to where I wanted to be. And a month or two here or there at the time might seem catastrophic to have to wait, like you said, 8 whole weeks until you start exercising after you have a baby seems like forever when you just want to get going.
But it's really running. I mean, more like running. Like, do you know what I mean? Not ideal to run before 8 weeks.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can hike and bike and do your.
Totally. But that's, but you just don't consider that. That's not your thing.
Yeah. And I just thought, oh, that's just so long to wait. And now it's just such a blur that 8 weeks goes by so fast now. So it's just, I guess, being, again, like believing that you'll be back and just being really fluid with time and being fluid with the demands on your energy and your body in those moments.
Awesome. So, I would love, I'm going to make sure that I share in the show notes where people can find you to cheer you on because, Tokyo's coming up and you're going to be representing Canada.
Well, not officially yet. They're going to name the team in another month.
You are, Melindy.
I am very optimistic.
We just
need to rubber stamp that announcement.
Of course.
Still.
Of course. Yeah. But absolutely. I'm going to share what I can of yours in the show notes so that people can follow along. And I'll speak for everyone and say we wish you the best of luck. And awesome. Thanks again so much for all of your insight.
Yeah, thank you. And good luck to everybody in their own journeys.
And that's a wrap. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and have taken something valuable away. Please take the time to rate and review the podcast. And if you'd like more information about my online program to support women during pregnancy, birth prep, and postpartum recovery, check out my website, mommyberries.com. I'll see you next time.